In Jesus' name, amen. With each passing Christmas, the events of that night, the incarnation and nativity of our Lord, seem to become more distant and detached in the current generation which lives in the present day moment. Certainly, this distancing and detaching from history was also true for the Israelites of our text as they reflected upon their salvific event, the Exodus. A whole generation, with a few exceptions, had died in the wilderness, as we come now to Joshua chapter 3. Even though the generation of the Israelites that was now on the verge of crossing into the promised land had heard day after day of the Exodus, even though they had recounted that Exodus Passover after Passover in the wilderness, nevertheless, they undoubtedly wondered if the God who had led their forefathers through the sea and through the wilderness as a pillar of cloud and fire would ever manifest his saving power in a similar way for their generation, especially with their Exodus leader now gone. They most assuredly were questioning if the Lord would be with Joshua as he had been with Moses. Our text records for us how the Lord answered this wondering and this questioning of ancient Israel by manifesting his power in the water of the flooded Jordan that lay between them and the promised land. The verses at the beginning of our text from Joshua 3 record the Lord's message to Joshua as he said, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant to go stand in the river." As we all know, the Ark of the Covenant was a locus for God's presence, a throne of his sorts on earth. As Joshua obeyed the Lord's command and sent the priests bearing that ark to the swollen banks of the Jordan, the continuity of God's saving acts in history is portrayed for all of Israel to see. We read again. "As soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground." The pattern is absolutely unmistakable. The same God who had been present with Moses and Israel in the midst of the Red Sea was also present with Joshua and the next generation of Israelites. He was standing there in the midst of the Jordan, performing a similar miracle. The God who had revealed himself before all of Pharaoh's great army had now revealed himself before the Amorites and the Canaanites. Joshua 5, verse 1 tells us, "Now when the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the seacoast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts sank and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites." The presence and manifestation of the Lord with and for his people did not cease with these partings of waters. Yesterday, the church celebrated the baptism of our Lord. where we see the same God manifesting his saving work as he stands in the midst of the Jordan being baptized by John. Once again, the Lord present in the midst of the Jordan, this time in order to deliver Israel and all sinners of every generation by his obedience that fulfilled all righteousness. There he climbed into the muddy waters so that the damnable and filthy sins of this world could be washed away, forgiven, and forgotten. Indeed, through this obedience, which continued and climaxed at the cross, the faithful now have a stepping stone, as Christ has become that stepping stone, a stepping stone whereby we can cross over to the promised land and to that city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. We as the church live many generations removed from God's revelatory and salvific deeds at the Jordan, or for that matter, at the Red Sea, or at Bethlehem, Golgotha, or the empty tomb. The continuity of God's manifestation, however, his epiphany, continues even in our own generation. The same Lord, this same Jesus that was in the midst of the Jordan, stood in the midst of our baptismal water. There he joined himself and his righteousness to us, to you, so that the Father can also say to you, to each one of us, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." Through that water, this same Lord, this same Jesus, has brought you from sin's slavery into the promised land, this promised land where we now feast on the word of life that is proclaimed and eat of his very body and blood until that day when we feast beside the river of life and the throne of our God and the Lamb. Yes, the epiphanies of Jordan are unique, but they are by no means the last glimpse that we get of our God doing great things in the midst of water. We who have been washed in the waters of continents across this globe can certainly testify to that reality. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.